Colville and Soames by Christopher Lee. Starring Christopher Benjamin as Henry Colville and Amanda Redman as Alex Soames, with Dudley Sutton as Arthur Guscott. Episode 2, The Penitent.
Henry, forgive the drama, but I need your help. This morning, I had a visitor, someone from a long time ago. I have heard his confession. The anguish of secrecy is that we can never know the truth. My visitor, Henry, has told me dreadful things. And what am I to say when he returns?
Tell me something, H. I don't want to hurt your feelings. Are you sure he was the full pound?
Well, I suppose there were moments of frustration, but I trusted his advice.
This arthritis of his. Pain does queer things to the old brain box.
Whatever your learned medical opinion, Arthur, we have the sound evidence of the tape.
Half a tape.
The curious thing, my dear, is that the recording wasn't interrupted. If someone had come in, then we'd have heard them. So what happened to the rest of Dominic's message?
Maybe he changed his mind.
Then why still send it to me?
But he didn't. You found it.
It was all ready to be posted.
You assumed that. I don't know, H. I really don't. All this voices from the past stuff. Well, my governor, he says, coroner was satisfied, the old chap's buried, then he's satisfied. Next one, please.
Arthur, Dominic had a heart attack when he discovered a burglar. I'm not disputing that, but you and I both know there's something more to it.
H, your mate was pushing 90. Confused, tired out. Any judge would throw it out.
Dear Father Dominic, here's a confession. It is such a
You're
dreadful
not
confession.
Listening,
it is
H.
such a dreadful confession that he breaks his sacred vow and tells me what he has heard.
No, he don't. He tells you he's heard something, but he don't tell you what he's heard.
But he's so fearful of what it means that he bothers to send me a tape rather than wait until the following morning when he would have seen me at Mass anyway.
Right. One to you.
And within a few hours, he's dead.
Coincidence.
And at the same time, my Herod is telling me the provisionals are trying to buy a missile.
Coincidence.
And a somewhat well-known IRA sympathiser, posing as his long-lost niece, is known to have visited Dominic shortly before his death.
Coincidence.
An unreliable noun.
What you got to understand, H, is that I do cops and robbers. You know, you're nicked. And I was proceeding in a southerly direction, Your Honour. You're too close to this. Don't complicate things.
I don't believe it. Colville in a pub? Never.
I tell you, it's true. He's doing it for England.
Colville eats a dozen oysters for England. Pubs he doesn't.
He's with Guscott.
Ah, that explains it. What about you?
Incorruptible. And stuck. If we're right, and there is a link between Brother Dominic's death and this red missile thing...
Red eye?
Whatever. If there's a link, then all we've got so far is this niece, and she's disappeared.
Donna Hanley. We don't know she claimed to be his niece. We've only the housekeeper's word for it.
Old Mrs. Wedlock may be as daffy as one of her dusters, but she doesn't strike me as a fibber.
Women do it better than men.
Anyway, she has no reason.
Until 10 days ago, this priest had every reason to think he was going to die of old age. What do we really know about the old boy?
Well, according to Henry...
No. Forget Colville. They said they're beads together. What do we really know? Been through the magic boxes, have we?
Sorry?
Well, suppose you have been to Percy and Cindy.
Fortnum and Mason, actually. Although as a working mum, most days it's Sainsbury's.
How long you been here?
4 months.
Well, that's no excuse.
Come on, I'll introduce you. Here we are, on your left...
Come on.
On your left, screen one, Percy. On your right, screen two, Cindy. And this is their pimp.
Hi.
Roger Brown, this is Mrs. Soames.
Hello.
That's enough. This is strictly business. She's new, working with Henry Colville. She's looking for a parson, a charl and a yank. Tell her a thing or two, will you?
Thanks.
See you in half an hour. Hey, and you, keep your hands on the keyboard.
Pull up a chair. It's all right, you can get closer than that. He's only joking, as you can see.
What happened?
Oh, nothing to get a medal for. Mountain climbing. I fell off.
That's really tough.
That's what the first Mrs. Brown said.
And the second?
There isn't one. Anyway, which one do you want first?
I don't know. What can they do?
Bog standard computer link, really. Percy, photographic information retrieval system, linked into the police. Nothing special. You give me a name, I'll find the police record. Yeah, I was about to look up this one.
That's brilliant! So quick, and a photograph.
A slight glitch. The subject has to have a police record, and some plod has to remember to put it into the system.
What about the other one?
Now, she is a bit special. Cindy. Central Intelligence Network Development Indicator. Strictly ours. Anything our people get on the development of suspect groups or people who interest us meeting other people, even for birthday parties, almost anywhere in the world, all goes in here.
I give you a name.
You give me a name and, let's take this fella.
Him?
Well-known Belfast roadie. Was in the States last month. Who did he meet? Let's see. There you are.
Amazing.
And among that lot, we could probably find who booked his airline tickets and if they used a credit card, the number, expiry date, where they get their groceries and who pays the monthly bill.
So much for the Data Protection Act.
Maybe. In the States, it's not so easy. Anyone can call up and demand to see their FBI file.
Not here.
Sorry, didn't hear that. So, left or right, Percy or Cindy, we are at your service, ma'am.
I think Percy.
Okay, here we go. Name?
Byrne. Father Dominic Byrne. B-Y-R-N-E.
Didn't think you'd find anything on him. Worth trying. Sometimes even the pillars have cracks. What about the housekeeper?
We didn't bother.
We?
Well, actually, I didn't. Roger did ask, but I said not to bother.
Why not?
If Father Dominic's not Clyde, then Mrs. Wedlock's hardly going to be Bonnie, is she?
Well, I don't know. You tell me.
She must be 60 if she's a day.
Well, Einstein produced some of his best work in his 70s. Check her out.
Very well.
What about the Yank?
Donna Hanley. Nothing this end, but plenty on Cindy.
Well, should be. The Washington and New York offices work hard on this. There's a lot of competition.
I thought the Americans were much friendlier nowadays.
The Yanks are no problem. It's that bunch of drongos over at Milbank.
MI5. I thought we were on the same side.
Oh, we stand up for the same anthem, all right, but that's about it. They've gone nuts on anti-terrorism. Justifies their existence. Started out okay, but now they see someone buying half a pound of Kerrygold and they want him nicked.
Which would explain why there was no sourcing from them on Cindy.
I'd sooner trust a leprechaun. So, what did you get?
Donna Hanley, 42. Address, telephone, fax and email numbers. Dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-da. Both parents dead. Married. Husband is Michael Amon.
What did they die of?
Who?
Parents. Well, she's only 42, you say. Most people of that age have one of them living.
Doesn't say. Nope, wait a minute. No, that's just her mother's name, Jenny.
Now, what about her pop?
Nothing.
Well, get that idle sod Brown to run a double check. If that fails, tell him to RFI it.
RFI?
Request further information. He'll be impressed you know the jargon. Go on.
Right. Husband is Michael Amon Hanley, 53, senior marketing consultant, Amtrak.
Chief booking clerk.
Both active in Irish Republican fundraising.
Okay, we know all that. What London connections? We're looking for her, not trying to write her biography.
Nothing.
Ring ISIS. They must have something. Lean on them. They're too cosy with Milbank.
I'm sorry, you'll have to explain. ISIS?
Oh, for goodness sake, woman. ISIS House, Immigration Investigation Department. You know your trouble. Flaming Colville. He thinks this sort of trade runs from his club. The truth is, most of it's what his friend Guscott would call hard graft.
I see.
No, you don't. But if you're going to stay, you'd better, okay? And another thing. Watch out for Brown. Don't be fooled by that surgical go-kart. His nickname's Roger Rabbit.
Thanks for the tip.
Not a tip. It's a warning.
I could have throttled him.
Have some more cake.
I'm serious. Look, Henry, I really don't need this hassle. I've got a 10-year-old who can make do without the nanny.
There have been worse herons. Joseph's evil comes from the heart. He means well.
Is that supposed to be clever? The man's a bully, and that's putting it mildly. He treats everyone, including you, as if they were doing their national service.
How could you possibly know? But yes, Joseph Nathan Cutner is the perfect corporal of the hut. He lords over the unsuspecting, accepts their favours, and wilts at the very sight of a proper officer.
What I can't understand is that everyone else in the department is so nice. It's almost as if he's in the wrong building.
Now you begin to understand. He arrived in the department some years ago from the army. A brilliant linguist, an uncompromising intelligence officer. But
he didn't read classics at Oxford. Wrong background.
You sure you won't?
No, thanks.
No, not a fashionable observation, but exactly that. I'm afraid he's where he is simply because of his ability. A somewhat disconcerting phenomenon.
You know what I think? It's his back. He's always in agony, and everyone with a bad back gets grumpy, and their judgment goes wonky.
You are, my dear Alex, telling me something. Joseph's back, Dominic's arthritis.
People's judgment. Let me play devil's advocate. Dominic is in pain, frustrated. He can't do things he used to.
But the confession he heard, it worried him so.
That's because he believed it. It could have been a nutter. Could have been someone very lonely.
But on the tape, he was clear about one important point. This was someone or something from the past.
Okay, but Guscott's right. It's all theory. What do we have? A fuzzy picture of what Cutner claims could be an IRA contact man standing at Dominic's graveside.
And our American lady?
And our very own computer hacker, who until this morning was sitting there playing expensive video games because no one had bothered to let him in on the secret.
And what did he discover?
Nothing.
Then perhaps Master Brown is best left to his video games.
Perhaps we all should be, including Cutner. All he's done so far is to be thoroughly rude and insist that I run a check on poor old Mrs. Wedlock. Next thing, I'll have her phoned up on the Pope.
It has now reached the point, and I say this from too many years of experience, that we have to disprove the hypothesis of our colleagues in order to get on with our own work.
Cutner says we only have Mrs. Wedlock's word that this American woman claims she was the long-lost niece.
And Guscott.
So Guscott's a colleague now, is he?
Guscott claims Mrs. Wedlock would have known everything about Dominic, and so would have indeed known if she were or were not his niece.
Well, in that case, we only have Mrs. Wedlock's word she was there in the first place, so the whole thing is a farce.
No, no. If Mrs. Wedlock was telling the truth, then it is all very odd. If she lied...
Then it's mega odd. I still don't see why she would. She has no motive.
Except in the case of fraud, lying needs no motive. Only impulse and opportunity. Perhaps just one more, Claire, and then we should pay Mrs. Wedlock another visit.
Excuse me, sir.
Ah, such service. A small pot of fresh tea would be splendid.
Certainly, sir, but there's a telephone call for you. You can take it in the lobby, sir.
Ah, then we may not have time for more tea. Certainly no honey. Would you be so kind as to bring me a small bill?
Oh, I'm sorry about this. Just moved office. Corridors of power, you know. Hey, you were quick. Your little foreign body only just left. Off like a flash of camel dung, he was.
Well, there's little to detain the innocent in a place like this.
I suppose he's okay. I
beg your pardon?
Well, he's legal and all that.
Henry, do not let him wind you up. Isn't that immigration? It's nothing to do with you.
Hello, Governor.
I'm Mike. All right?
Can I see you later?
You give me half hour, OK?
Cheers.
All happening, isn't it? Here we go. After you, Mrs. Soames. What is it, Ms.? OK, H., I need to go over it again. This comes to anything
at
I don't want...
At approximately 4 o'clock this afternoon, a small padded envelope was delivered by the postman to my set, my address in Albany.
And this is it?
Mm-hmm. Inside was a cassette, and that you have also. I instructed my manservant to bring it here to New Scotland Yard immediately. I came here from another address accompanied by my colleague. Neither of us has listened to it, nor tried to.
What is this? We've got another tape from Dominic. Isn't that enough?
Listen, love, if this comes to anything, I don't want some smart-ass brief taking me apart on sequence. When did the tape arrive? How did it arrive? Who touched it? Was it played? Was it edited? Was it tampered with? See? The thing's inadmissible as evidence anyway, but we'll get it in somehow. Okay?
Now, Arthur, I wonder if we may put it in your apparatus.
After all, it may not be what we think.
Why not? Nothing else is.
He said he is with the Troubles. Do they still call them that, Henry? Do they? Well, he says that is the way, so that is the way it must be. But, Henry, he says there's to be a dreadful thing to happen, that hundreds will die. He says he has helped, but no more, that he wants forgiveness. Absolution, Henry. Absolution is faith. But he has no faith, Henry. Only faith in myself. The Flynns are good people, but there was never one of them had the understanding. Faith in the church they had, nothing else. They never understood there was anything else. But the tragedy, Henry, here, he says, is to be a... And what should...
That it?
Just as before. Let me see the envelope.
Same label, but he's dead. We've buried him. He can't have sent it, so it's either a hoax...
Or someone's got the original and they're playing a nasty little game with us. You notice anything odd about it?
Apart from the fact that it sounds like the continuation of the first tape and there's a name in there, no, Chief Inspector, I don't. Do tell us, please.
There's no need to be sarky.
What about the name? Would you mind, Arthur?
Says there's to be a terrible thing to happen. That hunt...
After that, wasn't it?
Only faith in myself. The Flynns are good people, but there was never one of them had the understanding.
Flynns? It's a new one to me.
His tone, dear heart, his tone. He knows the family of old. Remember the first tape? He talked of someone from the past.
So we start in Ireland. That's a long shot.
He was from Dundalk. That is not a long shot, love. One telephone and I could give you the laundry list for the whole town.
A notorious community of a Republican tendency.
Roger Brown?
Your new friend might indeed add to our commonplace book. Why not?
Who's this Brown?
Oh, a euphemism, Arthur. A new filing system in the office.
We got one of those.
Percy?
No, love. Waste paper basket.
We were, Arthur, considering paying a little visit to Mrs. Wedlock.
Good idea, H. Avoid the tea. Whenever she pours that stuff, ever get the idea you're dealing with a mass murderer?
Will you take another cup? It'll take some water, it will.
That's very kind, but no thank you. You were saying...
Was the cake not nice?
Delicious, but I really couldn't.
Mr. Colville always takes a second piece. But the ladies know well. Straight out of the books they are, them and their looks. Never a potato passing their lips.
Not like the old days.
Which old days?
Well, I imagine what I meant.
You only imagine what you mean. Well, that's clever, it is. You mean you never have to know anything. Just imagine that you do.
A figure of speech.
Oh, Mr. Colville. No, he is away with words.
And once again, Mrs. Wedlock, he apologised for not coming. An urgent appointment. But you were telling me about Father Byrne's niece.
A charming woman. Did I tell you she was that?
I don't think you did. No. Don't you think it odd that he never mentioned a niece?
No.
Not at all?
No.
You see, we don't believe the father had any brothers and sisters.
He didn't. So he'd hardly be mentioning them, would he?
Exactly. But no brothers and sisters. No niece.
Sort is.
But you told us she was his niece.
Did I tell you that?
Well, yes, you did. But you knew she couldn't be. You knew he didn't have brothers and sisters.
How could he? Him being the firstborn and her dame on the spot.
So you mean his father remarried and he had stepbrothers and sisters?
You've a fondness for telling people what they mean, if you don't mind me saying. No, I didn't mean that. But his dear mother... God bless her soul, had 7 sisters and 3 strapping brothers. 2 of the brothers and 3 of the sisters went to live in America.
So you mean... I'm sorry. So you're saying the woman who came here wasn't exactly a niece. She was the daughter of one of his mother's brothers or sisters. Something.
Maybe.
But weren't you suspicious?
Not at all. She's a Flynn, to be sure she is.
A what?
She had the eyes, you know. You could walk down the street and you'd know those eyes. The whole family had them, including the father.
I'm confused. Whose father? Father Byrne?
Oh, not the Byrnes. They were dark and open. The darling man never had his father's eyes. These were proper Flynn eyes.
Flynn? You mean... I'm sorry. You're saying that Father Byrne's mother was a Flynn?
Of course she was. I'd have thought you knew that.
Mrs. Whitlock, this is very important. We believe that someone called Flynn came to this church and made his confession to Father Byrne.
Is that the time? Oh, terrible it is. The new father be here in an hour and me not here at his bed. What'll he be thinking of me?
I'm told that your masters do not encourage our investigations.
Some would see little reason for them.
My dear Monsignor, there is always reason. Could we not be honest with each other? Or is that unreasonable?
Our dear brother Dominic's death was accidental.
An intruder? At the very least, misadventurous, surely.
A legal term. A younger priest would still be here.
You believe still that is all it was?
You have no evidence to suggest anything else.
But it ignores the obvious. What was the intruder looking for?
A few pence. Perhaps some silver.
Yet nothing was taken. No, Monsignor, you must tell your masters that I mourn my dear friend, and in Dominic's memory, I must find out not what happened, but why it happened.
Not satisfied in your sadness. Not fearful that you may reveal so much that will harm our friend's memory.
That is somewhat crude. Dominic was a dear, thoughtful man.
You risk the terrible disappointment that this chase will bring you to others, to those in whom he had so much faith and they in him. I find that curious.
Then be truthful, Monsignor. Let me into your secret. Let me make up my own mind.
My secret, Henry? It is Dominic's. It is not mine to reveal.
Then I shall let you into my secret. Just 2 days before the funeral, one of the people at Dominic's graveside was negotiating to buy a small missile which could destroy an aircraft in flight. Imagine 300-400 people Dominic would have loved, perishing. If your secret were party to that, then shame.
There is no shame in martyrdom.
That is preposterous.
Were the happiness of the next world as closely apprehended as the felicities of this, it were a martyrdom to live.
And then he said, men have lost their reason in nothing so much as their religion, wherein stones and clouts make martyrs.
And who casts that first stone, Henry? Do you really wish to know? Let Dominic lie gently in his memory. There's reason greater than you can imagine for him to do so.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Been having a new truss fitted.
You must forgive me, Arthur. You must.
With all these priests about, wrong trade, H. Wrong trade. What are you having?
Yeah, I ordered on the way through.
Oh, that's very nice.
And I asked them to bring whatever it was you were drinking. They seemed to know.
Well, I have been waiting just a little while.
Well, once again, my apologies. But I bring some news. I have just spoken to Alex, and she tells me there is a connection between Dominic and the mystery Flynn family.
They both come from this Dundalk.
They're closer than that. According to Mrs. Wedlock, Dominic's mother was a Flynn.
Would you knob it? Believe her, do we?
Should we not?
I suppose so. She probably thought we knew. Here, how come you didn't?
Well, it was not that sort of friendship. Dominic and I never talked about ourselves. We were interested in issues. There were moments when I sensed that he wrestled with some personal conundrum. There were times I, too, struggled inwardly.
neither of us would have dreamt of imposing our problems nor our solutions. A very male friendship, I suppose.
You never lived on the same street as anyone else, did you? Now, I've got something for you. I think we've got a line on this American party with a lunch on her.
Yes. Dominic's niece, or whatever she is.
Well, we've been doing a little grafting, H. You remember you told me the last you saw this Donna Watts, it was her little body disappearing into a cab?
Actually, it was Mrs. Soames who told you. Go on.
Well, I got to thinking. The cab was waiting for her, right?
Perhaps. I really don't remember.
Well, I guessed it was. So we did a little scouting job. Got alongside all the radio cabs in the district. It took time, but then one of my lads got lucky. One of the dispatchers got the time call. You wait till your Madam Soames hears this. None of your new filing systems, just hard graft. Do you know what we got, H? I think we got an address for the lady.
Great, you're still here.
I'm just packing up. Are you chatting me up, or is this business?
Strictly ballroom. I've had an idea.
That's very nice of you.
When we put those names into Percy and Cindy, they came up with photographs.
They'll only do that if someone's put one into the system.
Okay, suppose I give you a photograph. Can you match it?
No name?
No. Well?
Inside leg measurement? Bust size? Nothing at all?
Nationality. Irish, maybe.
Oh, Irish, maybe. Why didn't you say? A doddle.
Really?
No, not really.
Could you try?
Sure, I can always try. Where's the picture?
Well, it's the best we've got.
Hope whoever took this doesn't do weddings. Do we know anything about him?
Cutler says he's a contact man in some missile deal.
Well, that's a start. If we're guessing he's Pyra, then they've no more than a handful who'd know enough to be allowed to buy at this level. Maybe ex-army. We could try a name match under their weapons experts and see what happens.
So it's not as bad as it seems?
No.
Wonderful.
It's worse than that. Okay, when's this for?
Listen, I've got to meet Henry. Can you do it tonight?
Sure. I was only going for a jog.
I'm sorry, I didn't...
I'm kidding. No problems. You just give me a couple of hours. If you come back, bring a McDonald's, will you? Plenty of onions.
Oh, you're kidding.
I don't. I'm the only person in this building who doesn't have to worry about halitosis.
You are a fraud. Okay, I'll bring two and we'll have a feast. By the way...
Oh, no. Unless it's my home number, forget it. One thing at a time.
You could do it at the same time. Anything at all, doesn't matter what, on a family called Flynn from Dundalk.
As I said in my note, there are more Flynns in Dundalk than there are Browns in Orpington.
What note?
The memo I sent up with the info you wanted on the Wedlock woman. It should be on your desk.
I'm sorry, I came straight in here. What's this got to do with Mrs. Wedlock?
Before she married Wedlock, a maiden name. It was Flynn.